You are now entering the Cave of Solitude.
Welcome to the show, y'all. It's the Cave of Solitude.
Podcasting from the megacity metropolis of Toronto, you are now returning to the Cave of Solitude. I am your host, Eric Anthony, and finally,
The Rock has come back to Toronto. I remember those days. I remember that.
High five. You played that well. Tell the people who you are, because you're definitely not The Rock.
Lady J.
Lady J is back in the house. We have been away from the podcasting for quite a while. Daff J, you've been away even longer. Do you remember how to do this?
Yeah.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
Do you have a lot to say? A lot on your mind?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Sure? You got your notepad and all the things that you've planned out to discuss and go over?
It's coming right off the dome.
Oh, you're going off the top of the freestyle.
No notepad.
No, just what you feel.
Yes.
Raw emotion.
That's right.
How's it going, Daff J?
I've been hibernating.
It seems like it, because I recently got asked from our loyal listener and good friend of the show, Martin Slam Duncan. He was asking where the podcast is gone, but fear not, we are back in full force, full throttle, and everybody's favorite host is back, Daff J. So what's new and exciting in your life? Where have you been?
I've been in my bed. It's been minus 20 outside for the past couple of days. Before that, we were globetrotting a little bit.
Oh, sure. And yeah, then, globetrotting.
And then before that, I was on business trips.
Mm.
Right? I went to Vegas for work.
How was that? I've never been. You've gone to Vegas both times without your partner in crime.
For me, Vegas, the lights are pretty.
But you just go for business, right? It's not... You're not going there for, like, you're not doing shows and watching.
No, was one show I would, like, have liked to do was, I don't know, this water show. It's kind of like a Cirque du Soleil, but it's with water. But I was hesitant about going because I didn't know, I don't really like circus things. And I'm terrified of clowns, for real.
Mm-hmm.
So I was afraid that was going to happen. But it was already pretty much booked with work and then, like, dinners. The food in Las Vegas is to die for.
To die
for. Very good. Very good presentation, atmosphere, the restaurants, at least the ones that I went to.
Which one would you recommend?
So the first time I went, we went to the Ribbon. It was a sushi thing. And then we went to Tao. Tao, again, is like an Asian, fusion type of thing. They have this dessert called the fortune cookie or something, and it is an actual fortune. It's a huge thing with like vanilla and chocolate and a cookie, and it's a good cookie. Where else did we go? We went to this other place that was opened up recently. I don't have the list. It's been a while. But I find that the food in Las Vegas is actually quite decent, and I look forward to that.
And you're taken to where the boss takes you guys and pays for the goods and services.
Yes.
So it's
we're really well taken care of. And so it's even I've better. Only tasted the finer things when I've gone to Vegas. It's really good. But I think that town is you know.
It's Vegas.
It is.
Yeah.
And every hotel has a certain theme. And my favorite thing, though, my favorite thing, and maybe it's a cliche, but I love the fountains at night when dance and sometimes they play a Sinatra soundtrack, or they'll play Andrea Bocelli. Like, it's just... At the Bellagio.
Feeling like you're in Ocean's 11.
Yeah. But it's very theatrical. I like it. I like it a lot. But I'm not a gambler. I'm not a casino. And to be honest, like when you're walking from, you know, hotel to hotel, to me it's a little depressing. Like there's so much lights and so much to do and so much to see and something so much to eat, and some of these people are just glued to this slot machine. Like to me, it's mind-boggling that people just fall into this tunnel vision of just
greed.
It's a little, yeah. But
other it's an addiction.
It's a fun city, though. I'm just sad that you haven't been able to come with, but yeah.
One day.
It's been, yeah, I've been busy. I've been legitimately busy.
And when you're not busy, you're hibernating.
Yeah, well, I have to recharge.
Yeah, absolutely.
To keep going.
Absolutely.
But I'm back. I'm back.
You're back in the saddle. Ready to rock.
Back in the saddle. You like
that? A more white comment you can't get. Back in the saddle or buckle down.
So, you've been a pretty busy bee.
Well, when you're out in Vegas, when the cat's away, the mouse comes out to play, as they say.
What?
No, busy bee? How so?
Well, you've been going to some events. I remember that you were excited about when you went to the con, I think. You came back with a couple of upcoming events.
Yes,
there was,
yes.
Wasn't there like a Pints and something?
Pints and Pages, yes.
Yes, you went to that?
I went to that, yes.
What was that all about?
So it was at a, I forget the name of the pub now, the Cameron House downtown on Queen Street, close to Queen and Spadina. So I made a friend at the con. I hope to interview him soon. His name's Mike Ruth. He's an artist, a local artist. Super nice guy.
Ooh, yeah. He's the guy.
Yes.
That has the beard.
Yes, he looks like a Viking.
And he actually really likes drawing Swamp Thing. Isn't that like his favorite character?
Good job.
I think
good
I
memory.
Went to a, you went to a panel.
Yes, you went to a sketch duel.
Yes, and
yes.
Him and two other guys. Right. He seemed like, and he really loves his wife.
That's right.
What a
That's
good
right.
guy that guy.
That's
I remember
right.
I liked him.
He did like, and I thought he was a cool dude too. So we wanted to get a commission from him at Fan Expo, but I couldn't get it this year. I didn't fit into the schedule. But he invited me to Pints and Pages, so then I went there, met a couple of artists and fellow podcasters, and I spoke with Mike for about an hour as he did a
Mike. Are we on a first name
Mike,
basis?
Mr. Ruth. With Mike Ruth, who actually Martin Slam Duncan told me to get in contact with him because he had said that he was a really cool guy himself. So I went to Pints and Pages, chit-chatted with him as he drew me a commission of the thing. He's a big wrestling fan, which I know a little something about wrestling
goodness.
Back in the day. Not anymore, but back in the day, so we had a lot we could talk about. And then he then told me about another event that happened recently at the convention center, but it's a very small show, a one-day thing, and $10 to get in.
What was it?
It was like a one-day con, but it was a lot smaller. It had a number of artists there. Some of them were.
But it was like an art thing specifically.
It wasn't art. It was like a typical con floor. You had the places where you could buy the books and you know your
toys,
your stands. But it was in a smaller section of the con floor.
Okay.
And then they had a little artist alley there, which was a little bit more intimate because it's not as packed and rammed, and you can have more one-on-one conversation with them. So I got to meet another artist, Hugh Rookman, which was really cool. We talked about music, and he drew a couple of commissions for me in my sketchbook that you got me. So yeah, it was cool trying to network and get to know a couple more people. I've been a little bit out of the swing of things for comic books because of my commute to work. I'm driving every day, so I'm not reading as much.
Right.
So I'm not keeping up to speed with as many things as are going on. And because of it, it's kind of making me fall out of the rhythm that I had of like keeping up with my stuff.
So what are you doing then to replace that time that you're not keeping up with reading?
I'm listening to podcasts again, but I'm kind of just been listening to music and stuff while I'm at work and on my commute. And there's a lot of like old school, as you know, a lot of old school hip hop groups that have resurfaced, like Tribe Called Quest and stuff like
yeah.
that. So I've been kind of catching up on nostalgic hip hop stuff that I found some podcasts where they interview all of these old artists who tell their stories in the business. And it's just been, I don't know. It's kind of like the same thing with comic books. Like you kind of catch up on everything that you've been missing and you get kind of nostalgic about it. So it's kind of been a new discovery, I guess. But
so what podcasts are you listening to?
I've been listening to Combat Jack. I've been listening to my typical comic book ones. Rap Radar, The Juan Epstein Show, And it's just cool to hear them nerd out in the same... It's very, you know, I find that people who like certain music, it's very similar to the things that make make people like comic books. There's that nerdy geek factor of knowing little tidbits of information or finding records that nobody remembers, or you know who produced a track
and what year.
Yeah, digging through the crates, yeah. Digging through the long boxes of music, as it were, you know. So it kind of has that same geeky element to it. And just hearing like all these stories, that anecdotes of like, oh, that actually happened when they created this album or this song, or these guys actually had a falling out and then they squashed it and ended up making music, like little things like that are kind of inside baseball kind of stories that are fun to listen to. So yeah, that's kind of what's been passing my time. But I hope in the new year, me and Mr. Mike Ruth and Hugh Rookman as well have made some sort of tentative plans to get together to come on to the show.
Oh, how cool is that?
Yeah, so that's what I'm looking forward to.
We're gonna have some celebs in the cage.
Sure, if you want to. They're just friends, yeah. They're not, I don't know about celebs, but they're cool dudes who are in the business.
But these are guys that, like, they. Well, I don't know about the other gentleman, but with Mike Ruth, I mean, he's done actual artwork in comics, right?
Yeah,
like, he's done a deal.
Yeah, yeah.
That's kind of cool.
But you know what? For me, it's more the personalities.
Mm-hmm.
It's more the type of guy. Absolutely. Yeah, that's the cool thing about it.
But there are some credentials there.
Yeah, like, and you know what the best credential is? Down to earth.
That's great.
That's the best credential, is that they don't ever make themselves out to be anything more than just one of us,
mm-hmm.
which is what's fun.
I think that's what attracts you to having conversations with certain people. Like, it's
always intimidating when you see, like, here's the guy behind the bench who people are paying to get art from, and you're always a little bit nervous or tentative to approach, but when you realize that you could just, like, chit-chat.
Yeah.
It's nice. It's cool.
That's cool.
Yeah.
So things to look forward to.
Things to look forward to.
That's good. That's cool.
So, finally, December 16th has come and gone. And it was kind of the date we've been waiting for as far as new releases of movies to come out. For those who don't know, and many of you do, if you're listening to this, it was the release of the latest Star Wars movie, the Rogue One, A Star Wars Story, it's called. Now, it doesn't have an episode 7, 8, whatever it is. This movie falls somewhere into the middle of the entire anthology. Were you, and just by the way, before we continue on, major spoilers. Like, we're just going to talk about this movie recklessly, correct?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So if you haven't seen the movie when this podcast is released, this episode is released, don't listen to it if you don't want to be spoiled, please, because it's worth going to watch it and seeing it for yourself for the first time. So with that out of the way, major spoilers, were you, Daft J, excited for this addition to the Star Wars anthology of movies, or were you kind of like...
To be honest,
yeah.
I was very not interested. I was like, well, what more could be done? We already know the outcome.
Mm-hmm.
We know what happened. We know why things... who played a part in what...
Right.
We saw the turnover in teams, like, okay, this guy was a bad guy, but now he's a good guy. And then the betrayal, like, there was already so much that was said and done. And I was just kind of like, all right, clearly they just want money.
Right.
But, so I wasn't exactly looking forward to it. I was kind of like, we're going to do this again?
Yeah.
And... they tried to do this before by doing the prequels, and I'm like, oh, now they're gonna...
Yeah. Traditionally, the prequels have always been given a bad rap, especially from the Star Wars franchise. But in this case, you want to kind of give them a brief idea of where this movie takes place in the timeline? We don't got to give a whole synopsis. We just tell them where it takes place in the whole... scope of the Star Wars timeline.
Well, when I was watching it, at first I didn't know what was going on.
Yeah, I
was a little bit lost. I'm like, Are we in the same? I felt like we were globetrotting, literally.
Yes,
you, globetrotting from one place
planet,
to the other.
Planet.
And I was just like, I'm not sure how. I don't know if I'm keeping up. I didn't know if my mind was too slow to keep up. But it seems like having like looking back into the their language, their verbiage, the constant words that were coming up, it was like hinting at something. And then I think everything came, started coming together closer and closer to the end. But this is what I would say would have been what happened just before Star Wars A New Hope.
Right.
Like moments before kind of thing. Like a couple of days before. It was events that occurred prior to the introduction of the Star Wars that have
exactly
that have done it for the majority of us.
Good synopsis off the top of your head. So just to reiterate what Daph J was saying, no. You said the right thing about where they are in the timeline, but what this movie, what they've done, if you remember, The New Hope. Immediately as the movie begins, Vader comes through and you see Princess Leia and the droids, and there are plans to some sort of secret devastating weapon that the Empire has concocted, and the blueprints of these plans have been inserted into R2-D2 that the rebels have acquired. That's where the movie starts in A New Hope. Rogue One is telling you how they got those plans for the weaknesses to the Death Star. So Daph J is correct when she says it takes place immediately before. This is filling you in on what you didn't know on how those rebels got those plans.
I didn't give you the Twitter version. I'm sorry.
No. I think you gave us the Twitter version. I gave you the more... IMDb.
Which, by the way, I got a Twitter account.
What's your name on Twitter?
What is it?
You don't even know. How are you going to get followers if you can't tell people where to follow you on Twitter?
No, let me tell you something very, very quickly. I know I'm kind of going off the path a little bit, but the only reason I opened up a Twitter account is because I was waiting for the bus. And the dang bus in minus 20 weather at like 7 in the morning just rode right past like passengers. And it was empty and it was fully functional. But apparently because it wasn't the express stop, which is a piss off because just one, like you can see the other stop where apparently it's supposed, like it stops. So it stopped there, but like maybe 15 feet from that initial stop, the next stop, it won't stop for you. It was just such a piss off. And it's like, you see a whole bunch of people waiting and you're just going to drive by it. Like, so I made up a Twitter account.
And went rogue.
And I just went off.
One Twitter account, one message, you went rogue.
It was a little difficult for me though, because I didn't know what to do. I had to text my friends to be like, guys, I'm tweeting, but it won't let me tweet. Like, it's not working. And they're like, so I sent a screenshot. And then my friend says, you need to shorten your anger. You need to, 120 characters or less. And I didn't understand that. I'm like, what do you mean? And I'm a little long-winded when it comes to my storytelling. Like you said to me, Daph, what's up? What happened in the movie? And I'm like, well, A, B, and C, and it takes me a while to get to Z. But for me, it's like, how are you supposed to know the whole story? Like, how are you supposed to know the context of what I'm telling you if there's no foundation? You know what I mean?
Yeah, so you're a details-oriented person.
I'm a little bit long-winded. I will admit that. But that I got a Twitter account specifically to just, anytime something bad happens...
Just to air out your grievance.
I think so. But is that what you're supposed to do with Twitter? Or is it supposed to...
Not necessarily.
I don't... What
Twitter,
do you...
Twitter is not to complain. It's to give an opinion, to comment, to share a link, to let people know what you're up to follow people that you like or are friends with, and to...
I just felt like I needed to yell at the top of my lungs at 7 in the morning for someone to hear my grievance. And that's why I did. But beyond that, I don't really know how to use it. I don't really know what it is.
So if you guys... If you listeners of the Cave of Solitude want to follow Daph J on Twitter, no, it's just going to be...
I think it's D_JAY1.
D. Okay. DJ1. D_J1.
Yeah.
All right.
I think that's...
Well, check it out, listeners. See if you can
follow
her.
There's a yellow flower on my profile.
Okay.
That's it.
That's it.
Yeah. Okay, we go on. We move on. We move on. Okay. Yeah. Take two. Go.
We're going to do the Twitter version. All right. So you weren't really, you were saying we're overly excited to go on. Run to the theater and watch this. No. It wasn't like top of your list the way Force Awakens was.
It, for me, the whole idea of doing a Star Wars movie, it just seemed redundant. I was like, we already know the outcome. We know the story. What's the, what are we tell, what are we right. doing now? Right. That, yeah, so I wasn't excited. No.
Okay. Yeah. I got to second that opinion. It's not that I wasn't excited. I was looking forward to it, but it wasn't, it was one of those things where I'm like, oh yeah, that's happening this month. Oh yeah, that's coming out this Friday. Huh? And I haven't been keeping up with any news or trying to see as many trailers. Like, I've seen the trailers, but I haven't been trying to figure out who's who and what's what.
And I think that's the other thing, because when watching the trailer, it wasn't like I recognized anyone.
No, not at all.
It's not like I knew characters. I didn't know a background. I didn't know if they were in connection with anyone that I did know. So it was kind of like an unknown fabrication. I there was nothing for me to kind of look forward to.
Right. Yeah. Same. I completely agree 100% on that. And I find that when I was watching the movie, similar to what you said, I was like, what's happening? I know what this is about, but I feel like I'm lost. And should I have been more? Again with the ice cubes. You know how loud that comes through on the microphone?
But it's so good.
I didn't even remember what I was going to say. Let's get to this movie.
Okay.
You completely distracted me with your ice cube shaking. Jeez. So the one thing I noticed from the very beginning of this movie that separates it from every Star Wars movie that I've seen thus far, there is no...
No diatribe.
Diatribe.
Right?
They don't have the scrolling. They don't have the there's no.
They gave the Twitter version.
They did. Just they went just in. Said once upon a time in a galaxy far away, there was no screen roll or whatever they call it. I forget what the proper word is.
The yellow brick road.
Sure. That gives you the synopsis of where they are in the story. Right. It just starts off.
Mm-hmm.
Did you like that? Or were you kind of like, what's happening?
I was waiting for, like, because in movie theaters, it goes so loud and I was kind of like preparing myself. I'm like, it's gonna scream any minute.
Yeah,
like,
don't get freaked out. That's one of the things you look forward to.
And all of a sudden, you just saw, what was it, a planet?
Yeah,
it just geared to, and I'm like, oh,
you just get right into
we're
it.
We're just in it.
I gotta say, I
you missed it.
It kind of helps you know where you are. No, like the Star Wars movies, I find always kind of start off in the smack dab in the middle of a situation.
I don't like that they didn't do it.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm like, oh wow, something completely different.
But it's the tradition of it.
But I think the reason why they didn't do it is because this is essentially the beginning of
A New Hope?
No, the beginning of this whole thing.
Right.
Everything that we know of, this is the start of it kind of thing.
Yeah, I guess.
So, I mean, at least say, like, there's bad guys. Because then even... But because even throughout the movie, you have people alluding to the fact that, you know what? I've been dealing with this since I was 6 years old. Like, I've been in this war for how many years? How many centuries? So, clearly it's been an issue. It's not something that is unknown. And so, if they would have probably just at least introduce the thought that there's a bad guy and there's a good guy.
Well, just, yeah, it's one of those things.
But I'm not hating on it. It was different. It was a different take.
Yeah, it lets you know that you're not watching the main timeline of Star Wars events. You're not watching an episode.
Which makes kind of sense, though, that they didn't do it because, like, seeing as we didn't know anyone, if they would have named off names saying this person is in power right now and this person's in this chair and this council, like, we would have been like, who are these people?
Well, not necessarily, because it is the Empire, right? The Empire is ruling full throttle. So you know there's Grand Moff Tarkin. You know that there's Darth Vader. You know that they're building a Death Star and that there's some sort of rebel alliance. But where the movie starts, you're like, who's this guy? Are they Jedis? Is this it lands on a planet where a family is hiding out.
Did I miss it? Yes.
I missed it.
Was it a complete Nah, I don't think so.
It doesn't
make or break the movie.
No, but I did miss it, and I wish it was there.
I think it's because it's what we've grown up with always seeing.
But it also helps you get... It helps plant your feet in the
story. Puts you on a timeline.
Yeah, it's like, okay, here we are. This is where we left off, or this is where we're starting. This is the starting point of our journey.
Mm.
I get what they want to do. But in this case, it the one thing that also was different in this movie was it starts off at this family that you're not really sure who they are or what role they play in the universe. Were they Jedis in hiding that ended up having a child? Are they members of the Empire? Are they members of the Rebellion? You don't know. You're kind of piecing it together.
Right.
Yeah. And then you see that they've been a member of the Empire. One of the main villains in this movie, his name is... This is one thing I'm going to have to do throughout this episode is I'm literally looking at IMDb to see who was named what, because they're all new characters other than the ones that we're familiar with. But in this case, I've never heard of Orson Krennic. And he was
one of the... He was the guy in Batman.
Which one?
The one with Bane.
Dark Knight Rises.
Yes.
Yes, you're right. It was him. Good call. So his name is Orson Krennic, and he's one of the...
And so was Casino Royale. He was
the... Le Chiffre.
Yes.
He was the father. They're the first two that come in contact with each other in the movie. And Orson Krennic comes to... And apparently this was a friend of his in school. I looked it up. They were friends. They went to school together. And the father, who his name is...
Galen Erso?
Yes.
Or Galen?
Galen Erso. He's this scientific genius who started the construction of the Death Star, didn't want to complete it, and now this member of the Empire, Orson Krennic, has come to retrieve him, say, you got to finish what you're going to do. We're taking your whole family with us. The little girl, his little daughter named Jin, she flees because he doesn't want her to get captured by the Empire. And I think that's part of the reason why there is no opening credits, because it is one of those moments in Star Wars movies where it shows a flashback and then jumps right into where they end up.
Oh,
do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And I don't think no other Star Wars movie has had that sort of, like, here's a flashback, now this is where we are. They all kind of start.
Well, they had flashbacks in The Force Awakens, but that was pretty much in the middle end of the movie.
Yeah, it's while the movie's taking place, she has flashbacks, but it doesn't start with her as a little girl.
I see.
Yeah, but yeah. So I think that's maybe the reason why they couldn't do that.
That would make sense.
So Jin Erso, who's a little girl at the beginning of this movie, turns out to be Felicity Jones, who is the main character and the girl that you see throughout the trailers. Your main heroine, who joins the Rebel Alliance, and she's joined them because she's been told that he has sent a message.
Her being her father,
Galen Erso has sent a pilot who works for the Empire.
So she's now pretty much coerced in joining the Alliance, or the Rebellion, sorry.
Yeah. Attachment, I guess, familial attachment, an ally of the Erso family is a man named Saw Gerrera, who is Forrest Whitaker. And he's the one who rescues
raises
this young girl who's fled and found a little bunker to hide in on their planet. He gets a message from the father ahead of time saying she's going to be
here. This is plan B if something is to happen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's where he comes into her life. But he's kind of a Rebel Alliance member who's gone rogue himself. And the Rebel Alliance are also looking for him because he's got, I think I'm running around in my head of all the things that are happening. I'm actually amazed how much I remember this movie now. The person who Galen Erso, which is Jin's father, the scientist of the Death Star, the guy who's engineering and architecting it, if you will, he sends a pilot who defects from the Empire to say, here's the instructions on how you destroy this thing. Here's where you get the blueprints for it. This is the weakness. And he sends it to Saw Gerrera. Exactly. And so the Rebel Alliance figure that here
but Saw Gerrera didn't believe him because he knows that the people that he was aligned with are now looking for him because he's like considered this rogue thing.
Yeah.
So now he's questioning anyone who steps to him with any kind of information and just trying to make sure that everything adds up.
He was basically Saw Gerrera, which is Forrest Whitaker's character, was part of the Rebel Alliance, but he's even gone rogue from the Rebel Alliance and kind of has done his
own thing. Why, though? What happened? I think they tried to explain that, but I kind of...
I'm not sure. That's the thing. For me, this movie's so fast-paced, and you're jumping from planet to planet and from scene to scene, not really knowing or getting a lot of background information on these characters or where they come from.
The only thing that I've figured out, well, that you get introduced with Jin is that she seemed like a criminal who just didn't know... She was bouncing from place to place to place until they just finally caught her. Not because they were specifically looking for her, I guess, but they just so happenstance that she fell into their lap and now they were using her to get the people that they wanted, which was her father and the man that they said had gone rogue. So it's almost like things kind of just ended up happening. It wasn't in an organized fashion that this story took place. It was just coincidental.
Yeah. Was it easy for you to follow what was happening?
In the beginning, no.
No, me neither. Okay, I thought it was just me.
No, I was afraid that I'm like, uh-oh, like... I must have missed something, or I thought that maybe because I was so uninterested in it that maybe my mind wasn't following the story and I was missing pieces.
Yeah,
I just in the beginning it was very, but I bet now if I were to go back I would probably be able to follow along, but initially no, it was difficult.
Yeah, I found that too, because there are certain things in Star Wars movies right from the get-go that I feel gives you a sense of familiarity automatically, whether you see a Jedi, whether you see droids, or some type of starship that is recognizable. I mean, that existed in this. It did. You recognize that the Empire was there. You recognize that there was Star Wars-esque things all around you, but you didn't see a Jedi. You didn't see... R2-D2 or C-3PO, like, none of those things were there.
There was, to be honest, if the movie Star Wars wasn't in the title, I think it would have been very hard to tell that this was a Star Wars story. It would have just been like a space kind of thing.
It's not an automatic given, I don't feel.
It was only after, within a couple of scenes, where you start seeing helmets. And you're like, oh, that's familiar.
You see the stormtroopers.
And then you said, like, okay, kind of those are familiar. There. But in the it is hard to pinpoint and say that this is a specific storytelling.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. So that was kind of hard for me, too, because... Especially with main character Jin Erso, and then the Cassian Andor, who was the main male lead, who was
I thought he would have probably been because I couldn't get their names either.
No, I couldn't keep up. I found it very difficult to keep up.
What is her name? Is that? Yeah. And then they would say it again in reference to someone else, and it's like. Man, I don't know who these people are.
Yeah.
And then at first, I thought this captain was the pilot from The Force Awakens.
Paul.
And that's right.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, maybe it's him. And I'm thinking, oh, yeah, that's the jacket. And I'm like, wait a minute, that's not the jacket. I'm just like
trying to connect where everything fits.
Yeah.
And I find that I was doing that too much to the point that it was detrimental.
But I think we naturally... geared to doing that is because all of the movies are connected in some way or another. So, like, they all always pay homage to each other. So I assumed that was going to happen again.
Mm-hmm.
But it wasn't so.
And the other thing, too, like, along with those lines, because everything is connected and now this movie comes as... It's not a sequel, but it's connected to the new Disney Star Wars universe... Right, it's added to that, what's the word now? I was saying it before. Anthology of movies where it's post-Force Awakens. So I'm thinking there's going to be definite things in this movie that tell you are this will help you understand
some
of the new characters. Yeah. Here's watch this connection. So I'm thinking, oh, this is the story of Rey's parents.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I'm kind of thinking.
Yeah.
You know, Jin and Cassian Andor are her parents, but you don't know that. Or is there anybody connected to Finn? Like, I'm trying to think of these things that are gonna relate to episode. Is it 8 that's going to come out next? I think it's episode 8. I can't keep count anymore. So I'm watching it, and it's episode 8. So I'm watching it and thinking to myself, okay, pay close attention, because that could be this, or that could be that, or maybe this is related to this, and...
It almost takes away from the experience,
because
you're trying to anticipate who's who to whom, and what their role they're going to play. I know what you mean.
Yeah.
You're almost trying to calculate it for yourself before it even happens.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. And then I was excited to see General Moff Tarkin. That was cool.
General Marf Tarkin.
Moff.
Who's that?
Sorry, I don't think it's General. I think it's just Moff Tarkin. The title that he has as like a member of the Empire is Moff. I'm saying General. I don't think that's correct. It's Moff Tarkin. He's the old man that you always see dressed in the gray suit, and he's looking out the window.
Oh, that guy!
Yeah.
Yes, he was the first... Okay, in my... I think, if I remember correctly, I think he was the first homage.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah, he was. He's that first link that makes you be like, oh, I know where we are in the timeline.
That
was cool to see.
His cheekbones gave it away.
Yeah.
Because he had them in the first one.
But he looks so skeletal.
He really does.
Yeah.
But it's funny because he kind of looks the same as back then, which is a little
it's
scary.
It's got to be a different actor. I can't imagine it's the same guy playing him. There's no way that it's the same
guy.
But
he did look a little bit more aged. He did.
Maybe.
Did we look that up?
I didn't look that up. No.
We should look it up.
I'm trying to see him here on the cast list, but it's not
coming
up.
But the voice was even very similar, too.
Yeah, no, it could have been
although
him.
Although with all the technology that they have, I'm sure they...
That's true, too.
They may have...
You probably can't even tell when it's a fake person.
I don't know, but like then who would want to be that actor playing someone else?
Grand Moff Tarkin. That's why I was saying General. I knew there was...
So was it the same dude that played him this time around?
No. No,
and it's
it
the
wasn't.
Next guy.
Yeah. Yeah, it wasn't. This is a new actor. Did a good job at casting him, though, and making him look like him.
Right?
And even doing the voice. Yeah, very good.
The
guy who played him
he was
this
the
time
one that
around,
told Vader to let dude go.
That's right, in New Hope.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was always difficult to know, especially if you've read some of the books, who ranked higher, whether it was Vader or Moff Tarkin,
mm-hmm.
Grand Moff Tarkin, because mm-hmm. of their direct relationship with the Emperor. You never really knew. So sometimes he was like, for him to say, Vader, let him go. And for Vader to listen to him, you're like, is he a subordinate?
Well, because then he did As You Wish. No, he just said As You Wish. He didn't say As You Wish You or something. Right?
No,
he
no,
didn't
he
give
never
him
called
any. There
him...
was no kind of superior title. He just
no.
said As You Wish.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So the guy who played Moff Tarkin in this movie, his name is Guy Henry. I don't know the original actor's name. Probably should, but oh well. So. Yeah, that was one of the things for me. I was having a hard time keeping up with it a little bit. When did you find that you were fully invested? Like, you were like, okay, I'm in.
Ooh, good question. I think I fully invested or that I was understanding what was going on. I think it was after they basically explained why they had her.
Okay.
And said, "This is we know who you are. This is your real name. This is what you've been doing, but this is what we need you to do for us."
Right.
And then that's when everything kind of started falling into place.
Right.
And then only after that, when they started explaining the super duper killer weapon, did I recognize. I'm like, oh my gosh.
Oh my gosh.
Oh my gosh. Another homage.
Yeah.
Like, it all started kind of...
Homage.
Well, like, it was a thing. I felt it.
Okay, you felt that
it
connection.
It was recognizable.
Right, right.
It was like, okay, another thing that fits the puzzle in my mind.
Right,
That I can understand.
Right.
Yeah.
Did you like the... well, okay, before I get into the band of characters that end up becoming, like, this ragtag team of rebels, did you like the the droid.
I really, really like the droid. This is what I thought. He reminded me of this anti-C-3PO.
Totally. The opposite.
Like, he was like, these are the statistics. I can't say this word.
Statistics?
Yeah.
Try it.
The statistics. These are the odds. And by the way, it's not going to work out. Like, he was so pessimistic. Pessimistic.
And statistics. Say them together.
I can't do that. No. And I liked it. It was very, like, a dark humor kind
dry,
of thing.
Dry, yeah.
Yeah, dry, yeah. Dry sense of humor. Yeah. And I was like, he's killing me. And yeah, I actually LOL'd in the theater.
He
every
did a
time
couple
he
times.
Spoke, I was like, this is good. I like it.
Yeah. No, I was pretty taken by him too. I didn't know if I would be, because you're so attached to what you know,
mm-hmm.
with especially in Star Wars, right? Like C-3PO and R2 are like staples.
Oh yeah.
And to have
and everybody knows, I think R2-D2 is the actual hero in this whole thing.
Yes.
I think the droids definitely do play a pivotal role in this.
There's no droids. Story. We got nothing happening.
No.
It always comes down to a droid.
Yeah. But this dude was funny.
He was funny. Yeah. It was played by Alan Tudyk. He was the pirate in
Pirates of the Caribbean. Yes.
Yes.
You said pirate, and for some reason I thought Pirates of the Caribbean. And Dodgeball.
Yeah.
And he put on an accent and everything.
Yeah.
And he really didn't have an accent.
No. And I think he was in a couple... he might have had a role in the... Force Awakens. I don't remember, but
if you can dodge a car,
you can dodge
a ball.
You can dodge a wrench. You could, yeah.
Funny.
He was in iRobot.
He was in iRobot.
Yeah, he may have played the robot, or I don't remember. But he, if you see his face, you'll definitely
recognize
him.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that was played by Alan Tudyk. Then you have Chirrut Imwe.
Oh, yeah.
And Baz Malbus.
Yeah.
Who are the... One guy is like the
blind... Matt Murdock?
Yeah.
He's the Star
Daredevil.
Wars universe?
Yeah, exactly.
I was like, wait. How's Maddie in this movie right now? Like, what's happening?
That's what
Where he starts looking up and kind of like listening for things.
That was cool, though.
I was like, this is very reminiscent of some DD.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then his partner, the guy with the blaster on him. They were a cool duo. But, again, I felt like...
Who are these guys?
Where's everyone coming from?
Yeah.
That was...
My question is about Matt Murdock there.
It's Baz Malbus, not Matt Murdock.
No. Matt Murdock was Imwe. Baz Malbus was the guy with the bazooka gun thing.
Was it?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm wrong. I'm sorry. Thank you. So yes, you're right. It was played by Donnie Yen. Chirrut Imwe was the... Chirrut Imwe, yes. You're right.
Hey, these Star Wars names. Hey, you found a site where apparently you can come up with your own Star Wars character name, right?
Yes, I did.
What's the formula? Did you remember?
I completely forgot.
Isn't it like your mother's maiden name?
First three letters
of something. First three letters of the street you grew up on.
Something ridiculous.
And then you gotta find that. That's cool. Anyway... what were we talking about?
We were talking about these guys. Chirrut and Baz Malbus.
What about them?
We were saying how much we liked them. As the story went on...
I remember now.
Go ahead.
So he was all about the Jedi.
He wasn't about the Jedi, though. He was about the Force.
Yes.
Yeah.
He was all about that.
Yes.
And then he was like, your necklace. Like, that was his introduction to Jin, saying something about, talking about her necklace.
Right.
And then something about the stone, the
Kyber crystals.
It charges the lightsabers.
That's right. And that's the power that's used for the Death Star. The same thing that's used for lightsabers. And the Empire was raiding all of the temples or places that had the Kyber stone, if I'm saying it correctly, in order to use it to power the Death Star. But that's what each lightsaber is made of. That particular crystal. That's what they use to build it. Did you notice that? Did you catch that? Or no?
No, of course not.
Okay. I was trying
to keep up with what was happening in front of me. I saw Daredevil in the movie.
Daredevil.
I saw Like, yeah, there was a lot happening, but very, very cool scene though. When Imwe does his thing, and then he uses the stormtrooper as like this constant body shield and doing stuff. It was very cool, and I liked how him and his partner like played off of each other, and I enjoyed that duet.
Okay. I liked them too. I thought it was...
You sound bored.
No, I'm not. I'm trying okay. to, I'm trying to build on what you're saying by finding out the backstory of Chirrut and Baz. Because of everything that you're saying about them and how they function together and how they where do they come from? You just kinda see them show up and you know that there's...
So what do you know that we don't know?
So I just looked on a website, IGN, and it gives you a little bit of the tidbits of fan service or backstories of things that maybe we didn't know.
How do people find these people just came out 2 days ago? How do people find out about them? Because so
you
fast?
you got bigger nerds than us who read and watched all of the cartoons.
So is this story that's being told in theater, is that based on an actual novel that's out? Because I know there's tons and tons and tons of Star Wars. There's the ones when the twins. When Leia and what's his face come out and have twins, Solo. Yeah, and right. then there's a story about them. There's like a whole slew of history, Star Wars history.
That stuff doesn't exist anymore as continuity. No,
right. Those are it's gone. Those are what's the, it starts with a C.
Castaway.
No.
Retcon.
No. Come on, use your thinker.
I gotta use the thinker to find out what you can't figure out.
You were
continuity.
Yeah, okay, when you were looking things up, you were just
discontinued.
No, does that start with a C?
Continued does.
No, like not Chronicles. Cadence. No, not Cadence. Oh, what is the word?
Can't think of it.
No, I feel like it has to do with a like biblical, like scrolls, like something
chronicled.
No, but something that's been hidden for a long time.
A canon.
Yes, canon. That's the word. Yeah, the Star Wars canon.
It's not part of the canon anymore.
That's what I'm trying to say.
Okay.
Oh my gosh, it was like an itch I couldn't scratch.
But going along with what you're saying about the canon, there are things that George Lucas set up that was never used that they kind of make reference to. And Chirrut and Baz, they're guardians of the wills, which was a concept that George Lucas had in place that was never used. So here on IGN, it says, the concept of the wills has been touched upon as part of Jedi lore before and was going to be evoked by Qui-Gon Jinn, who was Liam Neeson in Phantom Menace, and the never-filmed scene he would have appeared in Revenge of the Sith. The novelization of The Force Awakens opens with a quote from the In-Universe Journal of the Wills, but this is the first time the word has made it into a completed Star Wars film. So, Chirrut and Baz are guardians of the wills, which is some sort of a Jedi Force-related type of thing. So there is some sort of
connection. So there are bodyguards?
Maybe. They're protectors of something. And I guess that's why it would make sense that they were on that planet of Jedu? It sounded like Jedi. Something, but you knew it was related. And that's where the Empire had the stormtroopers and their army there taking the rest of the Kybar crystals. Because it was coming from a temple. And once they looted it, they basically said, okay, destroy the place. And that's also...
But what's his name? Baze Malbus? Mm-hmm. He didn't sound like he was a believer in the power of the Force. Like, he was almost like mocking it. Like, all right, here you go again. It was more like Matt Murdock was more into it. But the other one was kind of like, all right.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. He's kind of like a Han Solo to Luke Skywalker. Like, you believe in the Force, but whatever. Type of deal.
Right.
Yeah. Well, they were a cool duo, though. I liked them. I would have liked to know more about them, though, because I felt, at some points, I felt like they were just there for action sequences. Do you know what I mean? When you first get introduced to them, I'm like, why am I supposed to care about these guys? Who are they? Type of feeling. But as the story went on, I'm like, these guys are awesome.
Oh, yeah, they're very cool.
Yeah.
Oh,
especially as the story wears on and you see the final battle of the, like the culmination of this of the Rogue One squadron trying to get these plans from I forgot the, where it was that they went to. Oh man, do you remember that place that it was called where they went, where they were stationed and they had the plans? You remember that planet? It was on the beach.
It was beautiful. Yeah, it was a great beautiful. Planet.
Where were they? I couldn't remember what it was.
It starts with an S.
Was it? Oh, man. Nah, yeah, I don't remember it. I should have paid attention. Anyways.
It starts with an S. It's, Scarif? Scarif?
I think that's right.
Scarif. Started with an S.
I think you're right. We'll go with what you said, Daft J. Good memory. Off the top of the dome. So well done.
Yeah. Top of the dome, but tip I of really the like that planet. It looks so serene and pretty, and then all of a sudden, like pure war. Chaos.
Yeah.
Chaos. And then I felt confused because then those big
AT-ATs.
Yes, the ones that were used in the winter were now used on the beach.
Empire Strikes Back.
Yeah, yeah, and yeah. I was just like, climate issues these days. Climate crisis.
These guys can go anywhere.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. So I feel like we're jumping all over the place.
We but that's are okay. because the movie, okay. I think, was also kind of like
it was jumping all over the place. Was there anything that you didn't enjoy about the movie? Looking back at it, what are some of your cons?
I think I can't think off the top of my head a list, but the one major con was I think there was just too much death. There was just everybody.
Spoilers.
Everybody. No, we said that already. Yeah. If they're listening, that's too bad. Everybody kicks is taken out.
Yeah. I agree.
Even the droid.
Yeah, I agree with you 100%.
I was just like,
the planet. Man. The planet was destroyed. Where the blueprints of the Death Star were. Like.
And I don't know why. Why? Because they just had a hissy fit? Because they said, I think Darth Vader was going to do something. Or he was going to finalize something, but like it was just there was such good pivotal characters that you just introduced them to me. I just know who they are and I know what role they're playing, and now you're just snatching them away from me.
That was like, my gripe. That
like
was my
candy
gripe.
From a kid. Like it was like, oh man, like I was just starting to get invested. Yeah. So that was my one thing where I'm just like, this is too much.
Agree. I agree with you wholeheartedly. And maybe there's something they have planned for them that I don't know. But for me, I was like, this is the one part. And I don't know if it's something in the New Hope movie where they reference, like, we great people sacrificed their lives to get us this. Mm-hmm. I think it may have been referenced. Because there's that council at Yavin 4, which is like the guy with the beard, where in the original movie they're sitting there with what's the lady's name now? There's so many characters, and I feel like, oh, you're supposed to know this, but where the Mon Mothma, which is the lady in the robe and the short pixie cut hair,
yeah,
and in the original New Hope she's there with I think Leia and that general with the white beard, mm-hmm. and they're going over the plans mm-hmm. of the Death Star,
yeah,
so
yeah.
they're back there in this movie. Talking about, you know, what their plan of action is going to be. So there's those little touches that make you feel suddenly like, I know where I am right now. This is all a callback to where the Rebel Alliance headquarters are. And you see all of these characters that you've been following for the last hour and 20 minutes or so that you're starting to root for and starting to connect with. Even though they've just been thrown in your face, but as quickly as they're thrown in your face, they're all
taken away.
Yeah, like boom, 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 one after the other. There's not one survivor. No. Not one.
Yeah.
And I was like, that makes me feel like this is the throwaway movie. Where you said, are they doing this just to get people to go to the theater and watch it?
Because And it's like the movie that you're selling to me right now is like directly goes into the one that I already know about.
Right.
It was kind of, I don't know. To be honest, I liked the movie. I was pleasantly surprised. I didn't think I was, especially because I wasn't excited for it. I wasn't really looking into it.
Maybe the best thing about it is that we didn't go in with high hopes or like unrealistic expectations.
Yeah. But that was a big takeaway for me. Like, don't don't sell me this story and these people and then nothing. I mean, something did happen, but it's like, really? All of this for a blueprint? Like, it was... And then so they had originally thought that Jyn Erso's father was a rebel because he was the one behind the construction of the Death Star. And so they basically wanted to take him out or take him captive or even kill him. Just take him out. But it turned out that because it never sat well with him. At first, he left the project early. And then he left and tried to have his own family and do his own thing. Mm-hmm. But they found him and basically forced him to comply with this project. But he built in a flaw so that it can eventually be destroyed or malfunction or whatever.
Like that one flaw that will destroy the entire thing.
But I feel like had certain things not occurred, then the movie would have been completely different and not so many lives have been lost. Like, for example, when they went to go actually get her father physically, and this would have been the first time she would have encountered him after so many years, where she would have seen him, he would have learned that she was still alive. Like, this was supposed to be a beautiful moment that was supposed to happen.
Yeah.
And yet... that was also snatched away from them and from us as the audience. And so had the rebel people not taken aim at
him,
at the wherever they were at that time,
right?
He basically was killed at the hands of the rebel.
Well, people. They were going to kill him. They were going to kill him themselves.
No, right? I understand that. Yeah. But once, not Poe, but the one that I thought was Poe, Cassian, yeah. Once his conscience kicked in, and he's like, "I can't take out this man. Like, there must be some truth to
what's
really happening." One of the commanders at the home base there said,
"Take him out.
Just take everybody out who's there." And then they receive signals saying, "No. There's some of us there, so we gotta hold off." And he's like, "Well, it's too late. Like, it's happening."
Yeah.
So really, there was casualties that had taken place at the hands of the ones that we were rooting for.
Yeah.
And this poor chick lost that opportunity. And you know what I mean? Like, had that not occurred, then I think a lot of what transpired, because they really physically needed him to say, because that's how they were going to prove that he was not a part of the
Empire.
The Empire. Because he was going to have to basically be put on the stand and testify against... or prove that he was actually trying to help the rebels, not...
But he had to play it in such a way where no one would know. Like, he really had to draw the fine line.
Right, but if they hadn't killed him early, he would have been able to state his case, and they wouldn't have never had to go to Planet Playa and gotten the blueprints. Like, he was the blueprint.
But
so I think a lot of things, had they just slowed down... I mean, I know it's a story and it amps it up and it they did things in a way to be able to tell it a certain way. But what I'm saying is I feel like it was a gut-wrenching movie. Like
it was.
It tore me up a little
and,
bit.
And along with that line of like the whole movie is preaching this theme of hope. Like we need hope, right?
Yeah, and they just keep taking it away.
And they take it away, but they keep saying hope is all there is. Hope is all, the force is hope. All, the hope is all we have. Really laying the like foundation of a new hope, right? But it was interesting to see, and I like that they put this in there because it's not maybe something you ever think about, but in order for the Rebel Alliance to overthrow the Empire or to get as far as they have to resist the Empire, they have to do some questionable things and maybe some things that Cassian Andor even says, like, I'm not very proud of some of the things I've had to do, but I did it in the name of the Empire, or in the name of the Rebellion, for the, you know, thinking that it would ultimately lead to some sort of good. It was the first time where it kind of occurred to me, like, these guys have done some dirty stuff in order to make headway and try to stop this Empire that is becoming pretty much unstoppable. So, you're right, it did have all of that, it was gut-wrenching. It was disturbing. It was like, who really is the good guys?
And I don't cry for people. And I didn't cry for them. But I felt like it was It's like, oh, no. Oh man, like, come
him
on.
Him too?
Like,
them too?
Yeah.
Like, you know, it's just like no one really got to see.
There was a lot of non-satisfying moments in the movie. It's like they're just about to, oh, and then this is looking good. It's the, oh, and then it's like, oh,
but
my.
But that's real warfare, right? Is that there's a lot of people who sacrifice not knowing what the outcome will be, but they did it willingly. And I think that this movie really does them justice in that regard. Powerful moments of how people lost their lives, sacrificing, and when they do get the plans and they transmit them to, I want to say the mothership, but to the Rebel Alliance yeah. home base, yeah. right? Once they do
who get I them. Thought was it's a trap.
Yeah.
But he must Akbar. Be like some kind of like ancestor.
Relative. Maybe yeah. his brother.
Or it was somebody.
It was like. His cousin. His primo. yeah, once they get the plans up to the ship and everybody retreats, they destroy that planet. The Death Star destroys it. And you see Jin yeah. and Cassian just watch, like.
They just know.
Yeah. That was terrifying. That was one of those moments like, wow. What, like, you know.
Sad.
Yeah. It's the things. It was so awe-inspiring, but very terrifying. Mm-hmm. Like, as awesome as it was one of the things that you have nightmares of, I think. Whenever you see, like, something happened in the ocean and like it's coming towards you and this bright flash of like this Armageddon flash of light in the seas coming towards you with the waves about to like, you know, there's no escape. Like, oh
yeah, it was a really uneasy feeling.
Yeah.
It wasn't, I didn't find it entertaining. You know what I mean? Like the flashing lights and the whole, like for me, it was very uncomfortable to sit through actually.
Yeah. There were a lot of uncomfortable moments.
And when I saw, what got me really upset was when K2SO was getting bit by bit,
and he kept trying to help.
Yeah.
Yeah, every shot, no, oh, come on, no. That's the Daff J beside him, oh, come on.
Yeah, like, that was, I was like, oh, like, no, like, come on. Like, and the thing is, normally the droid, especially I found in this movie, like, he was the comedic relief.
Yes.
He was the smart alecky, had a mouth on him. I mean, he was the reason that I was laughing.
Yeah, he
and
was.
And now
funny.
You just shot him dead. You Jimmy Olsen'd him. Like, it was very, like. I was
yeah,
like,
that was good.
Oh, Jimmy man. Olsen. Like,
yeah.
It was a good story, I think. It was very heavy. Very heavy.
Yeah.
And people dropping like flies.
Yeah, no, it was. That dogfight at the end, though, was pretty epic.
Okay, that's a whole other thing. That's a whole other thing.
Not the what you think I'm referring to. I'm talking about, like, all the ships and the spaceships and everyone. Like, you know that they were pulling footage, unused footage from A New Hope? Because a lot of those pilots and stuff...
Which I think
were in New
brilliant.
Hope. Yeah, that was cool. And you kind of felt it. I was
yeah.
like, ooh, that feels old.
Yeah.
I feel like I've seen that guy. He looks too old to be in this movie, even though he's, like, still 30.
Yeah.
He looks like an old 30. Those are some footage from...
Which I think they did that very, very
yeah,
well
that was
in this
good.
Movie. I will give it credit on
yeah.
that. I thought they transitioned a 30-plus-year-old movie into a today movie, and there was such a seemingly...
Seamless.
Seamless connection of the two, and I thought it was done very, very, very well.
Yeah.
Like, you wouldn't know the difference.
Yeah, no, it was good. I as the movie went on and they were starting to, like, close in on the part that we were waiting for.
You know what was kind of cool? Tell me.
Okay.
Who are the best villains in all of the world?
In all of the world?
Yeah.
Well, since we're talking about Star Wars, I'm going to have to say Darth Vader and the Joker.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I was thinking about that. Yeah, yeah.
Okay, so in this movie and in the trailers, I was like, okay, during this timeline, Darth Vader is alive and well. He's like at full force power. I hope he's in the movie. And you see a glimpse of him in the trailer. But when you see him in this movie, as little as he's in it,
He's not in it in much, eh?
Epic. Epic.
He really isn't.
No, but you know when it's gonna when he's gonna.
You know what he kind of remind me of? Gotham Knights. Batman is rarely in that.
Does everything gotta go back to Batman? Everything really?
So that comic book was all about the Gotham
City Police.
Yes, and like the staff basically.
The staff.
And I was, like, hesitant about that kind of going into it because I'm like, where's the B-Man? Like, this is not about him. Where is he? But, like, the story was very well done. But then the times where he did show up.
It made it.
It was like, whoa.
It was, and he didn't say
much. It counted for so much.
Yeah.
He didn't say a
lot.
Sometimes
it was just a shadow outline.
Right. And I feel like Darth Vader kind of played that role. Like, he wasn't the main villain in this movie.
He could have been, but they didn't make him.
They didn't make it all about him.
That was good, man.
But when he showed up, oh, man.
And that scene where I poked him, like, that's him. But it was in a...
He was, like, in a bubble bath.
Yeah.
He was, like, on a spa, like, a spa retreat. Some, like,
yeah, he looked like he was maybe in that tank where they put Luke in after he had
when
been
he
frozen.
Recovered.
Yeah.
Yeah, when he was, like, getting healed or
something.
Yeah,
and you've never seen... You only saw Darth Vader, I think it was in Empire Strikes Back, where he's kind of, like, in his private
room.
Well,
he didn't have a helmet on.
He didn't have a helmet on, and then he spins around, and that's the only time you kind of see him...
Him, for like, in his whole, like,
Right.
Yeah.
So, yeah... It was like, ooh, here's some, like, Easter eggs that...
But it's crazy because it's like, that whole costume makes him, eh? Like, I think what's funny is with the accidents that he had, like, his actual physical... His physicality must be so monstrous and not pleasing to the eye. But that whole thing with the helmet and the cape and the...
The chest piece,
like... That in itself is so intimidating. And his breathing. It's like no matter how many times... Like, we know him. He's existed for so long in our world. But anytime he makes that initial entrance, it's like, oh, the spine.
Yeah,
whoa, that doesn't go away.
Yeah.
Like, what an amazing villain. Like,
presence,
the impact
the
that this guy has.
Yeah.
And then I like that scene when he was... what's his name? The Bane guy.
Not the Bane guy. Orson Krennic?
Yes, when he had to kind of explain himself.
Yeah.
And he was like, so, are you kind of putting me back in charge? Am I the man kind of thing? And then all of a sudden, he just stopped talking. And then Darth Vader didn't even turn around.
No, he just kept walking away.
He stood there. He just stopped.
Yeah.
And he didn't even turn around to acknowledge the man.
Yeah.
And it was like, it's not like he was... like in the past, like what we've seen that to be.
Yeah.
But he was just kind of like, oh, I can't breathe. that doesn't feel good. And then you just see him get smaller and smaller. Like, he's slowly
falling
apart.
Yeah.
And you're
like,
oh, that's happening.
Yeah.
He's gripping him. And then you're just, and then you're not sure. And then all of a sudden, when Darth Vader does turn around and you see him, like with the claw thing, like, I got you.
Isn't that
and
the
don't choke on your words or something
I
like that?
I think that's one of the powers. If someone were to say, if you could have one power, I think the force choke would be one of them. Everyone wants to fly and be like super. I think the force choke, there's something satisfying in just being able to go to a person like this and like, shh, stop talking. Because I could do this to you.
Yeah.
How, like, that's something. Any moment you just silence. I don't know.
And he finished him off with some dirty words and then just like a pimp, he just brushed like dirt off the shoulder. Like, he just
like a pimp.
He just walked.
I've never heard of Darth Vader being referred to as a pimp.
It was the dirtiest thing.
The cape works.
At that point, I was like, oh my goodness, like, this guy is unbelievable. And that intimidating, everything about him was so many years he's been in it, and it's not old. It doesn't get old. He's so cool.
The climax of this movie.
Are we done talking about this? Are we still going to talk about the movie?
We're talking about the movie. But I want to continue talking about Vader since we're on Vader. The climax of this movie is when... Are you finished with the ice cube? Do you want something more to drink? Are you gonna just, see, right now I would like a forward to choke you.
I was just replying.
It's times like that where I wish I could force choke you. When you play with ice cubes on the Cave of Solitude show. It almost worked.
That's
though.
My bad. That's my bad. I almost did choke.
Everything that happened, happened.
And they still had the voice down.
Yeah.
I don't know what they're going to do. Like, I think they have, and I thought about this throughout the movie. I know you were talking, but I want to speak. I feel like James Earl Jones needs to say every word in the American dictionary. Because if when he kicks the bucket, like, if we're still going to be telling this story.
You know what? With the machinery and technology and all the studio equipment they have, they can make that voice. No problem.
You think?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they could. Yeah, they can.
I don't know, but there's an authenticity when it's...
But when are you going to need to use him again? Really? Darth Vader. How much more Darth Vader do you think there's going to be? He's not going to be in Force Awakens.
What if he is?
No, he's dead.
He's dead. But, like, aren't there visions and back and forth and, yeah, like, back in the day
Yeah, stuffs? They could. They could do that. You're right. They could do that. But I think you can make that.
Anyway, I'm just saying the voice is so iconic. And I think that's something that everyone's has always known. But, like, I just, you know, Disney, just cover your tracks just in case. Backup plan. Like, have them go through the alphabet. The dictionary.
Did you ever see the voiceover when they use Arnold lines to do Darth Vader voices? It's fantastic. I'll show you after. They take Arnold Schwarzenegger dialogue from like Kindergarten Cop and whatever, Terminator, and they attach it to scenes from Star Wars to be the voiceover. As what Darth Vader would say in certain situations, it's hilarious.
As Arnold Schwarzenegger?
Arnold Schwarzenegger's voiceover. It's so funny. I'll show you after. I'll show you. You'll like it. It's hilarious. Remember in Kindergarten Cop? The lines that he says to the kid, we're going to play a game.
Yeah.
Who is your daddy and what does he do?
Yeah.
So, they on this thing on, I saw it on Facebook and you can see it online, YouTube. But the scene where he goes and tries to extract information from Princess Leia when she's a captor. He has that little ball of torch. Yeah. He's like, we're going to play a game. Who is your daddy? And what does he do? It's priceless. It's really good.
That sounds terrible.
It's terrible, but it's funny. Getting back to Vader, the highlight of this movie was at the end when we're about to collide, when the movies are about to collide, and we're going to see Vader show up in A New Hope for that first scene. But before that happens, there's footage that we've never seen before where he gets in contact with that first ship that has the Death
blueprints.
Star plans, right? And he breaks through on that ship and
causes... First they hear... If you're going to
tell
the story...
Back it up. Tell the story, Daph. Tell the story.
So, this pure chaos.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, before we get into this...
Yeah.
I thought it was very cool, it's a traps, second cousin there, when he said, I got a plan, because they had to break the force field kind of thing.
That was protecting the planet.
He's like, I have a plan. I think this is what we're going to do. And then they used a ship to kind of
thrust
into the thing. And then it connected to that ship, and then it broke through. It was
good. Domino effect.
Yeah, and I thought that was really, like, that was a very different, for all the years that Star Wars has had, tactical
dogfights,
strategic fights in the sky, like this, to me was one of the things I don't think I've ever seen.
This was the best one, I think, in all of the movies.
Yeah, I thought it was really, really cool.
Yeah, this was good.
So now chaos, ships are ramming into ships, people are like running all over the place. They finally get the blueprint, and then they're trying to get through, but the sliding door is jammed. It's somewhat open, but not enough for anyone to escape. And then, like, the power goes out, and all of a sudden you hear that iconic breathing, and everyone and these, like, men with their helmets, they're like, what is that? Like, they're all preparing for what's coming, and all of a sudden you just see this red lightsaber, and the man went off. I have never, like, when I think of Darth Vader in a battle, he doesn't do much, eh?
That's what
he'll either choke hold you or just, like, zoom, 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 and just, you know, take something, throw it at you. Like, he doesn't really move. And this G, my G, he went hard.
Oh, God.
I have never seen, listen, let me tell you something.
Tell us.
I was scared out of my mind. I actually got so scared. I was tearing up. I've never, I was actually,
True story.
I was so, it was like watching a horror movie.
True story. Daph J was so the credits were rolling and she's like, I'm so scared. Darth Vader's such a badass.
Like he's,
and there was a tear coming.
I don't know where that came from. But he legitimately frightened the heck out of me. I was not expecting that. Did you see that one when he threw someone in the air, held him long enough to zip right through his gut and just slam him down on the ground? I was just like, oh my God.
Yeah.
My hands were up in the air. Dude next to me was like trying to get out of the way. Because I was like, I couldn't believe it. It was the most insane.
That whole
wicked. It was wicked, but not like fascinating. I sound like a lunatic. It was the most insane thing I've ever seen him do, and it scared the hell out of me.
That's what everyone's been waiting for. They've been waiting to see Darth Vader be like full power maximum. Like, what can he really do? And he just went through that gauntlet like it was nothing. Like,
oh,
all of them
goodness.
Were peons.
Just ruthless.
Yeah,
ruthless.
Oh, it was sick. So sick.
Oh
so
my
sick.
Goodness. And like you can almost like.
They captured the terror.
The fear, the anger, he was cheesed. He was so, like, you can, without the, like, there's no facial expression, nothing, but you can tell what kind of mood he was in. And he wasn't having it. I've never seen anything like that. It was terrifying. It was pure fear I actually had.
I don't think I've ever left the theater with you being that scared.
It was legitimate.
And you've seen Star Wars before. Yeah, it was pretty epic. It was worth the 2 hours
because
to get to that point.
I feel like with him, he's always ever shown his power, and it's kind of like, oh, wow, like that's kind of cool. But this one was like oh, my gosh, he's insane.
It'll be fun to watch that movie now and play the next one right after it.
Well, then now you know why he brings a ball with a needle. Like, he's not there to play. He don't business. He's ready to take out anyone in his path.
He's
mad.
He's a Sith Lord.
Yeah. That was a major scene. I wasn't expecting that.
That was good. It was worth it.
It was, I'm telling you, for me, in my opinion, that was like a horror film. Kind of slasher movie. Like, that's exactly what I felt it was.
So that'd be your worst nightmare. If you woke up in the middle of the night and you just heard, and then a shroom, red lightsaber.
Oh my goodness. Very well done. It captured everything. I was scared. I was excited. I was crying.
Yeah, really
I was
were.
Shaky. I was, all the emotions were all over the place. I couldn't believe it. That was one of the best scenes.
I thought your favorite scene would be the cameo of R2-D2 and C-3PO.
Oh, it was. I mean, I laughed. It
they
was
are
great.
Officially in every Star Wars movie.
Yeah.
Still.
Yeah.
They're, with that scene.
They're great.
Yes.
I did see that. I think C-3PO was like all panicky. Like, how come they don't tell me anything? It's like, because you're a bag of nerves. That's why. Like, you're a machine.
You would be C-3PO. If you were thrown into the Star Wars universe, that would be you.
I just make it by the skin of my teeth.
Yeah. Because you had a trustworthy friend.
But yeah, no, they showed up. Yeah. And it was like, again, it was a nice momentary, it was a moment of relief and satisfaction. But very quickly,
was
that taken away when they start, you know, everyone starts falling apart.
Yeah. No, it was. And then to end it with, I was hoping they would end it being able to see Leia. And they did. You see, I don't know.
That was the thing. It was funny because I was trying to talk to you without disturbing the people around me. Because Jimmy Smits was there.
Yes.
And we know that in the prequels, he had basically said he was going to adopt one of the twins. And yeah. we know that he took Leia.
Bail Organa, yeah.
And he had said something. What was the chick there in the white robe?
Mon Mothma.
She had said something to him. At least this is what I heard. Something about, like, I hope your Jedi friend is...
Mm-hmm.
is good. And he's like, oh yeah, I trust her with my life. And I'm like, wait a minute, like, I thought we couldn't find any Jedis. I thought they were all hiding. Like, what are doing here? And then
that's the nod to Obi-Wan.
Yeah, but he said, I trust her with my life,
to get her to give her the plans in order to get the Jedi friend.
I see.
Yes,
I see.
Ow.
Okay, because I was trying to figure out, like, who's he talking about?
Yeah.
Because Leia wasn't a Jedi.
No, no.
But he referenced a female. So I'm like, what female do we know was a Jedi that's not...
But she's got Jedi blood.
Well, all right. I'm just trying to go through the thought process here. Yeah. So that's what happened. Okay, it's all coming together. You're going to get Obi.
It's it.
Oh, yeah.
Because that's... I was hoping the movie would end with... the camera zeroing in on C-3PO with, like, the camera lens coming from him, and you hear her say the message, help me, C-3PO, you're the only one. Like,
remember, help me, Obi-Wan Kenobi,
you're my only hope. Yeah, I was hoping that it would end with that. And then credits.
But it ended with a young Leia.
Yeah. Which is, you know...
I wonder if that... if they used the real Leia and just fixed her face. No, technology.
Yeah.
Or if that was unused footage that...
That's true.
That they...
That's true.
I wonder. Leia, if I remember correctly, she did look a little plump in the cheeks. So that's why I'm wondering if it was...
Could be unused footage. You're right. Interesting. Huh.
And then she's like, this is a new hope or something. Like, it's like, oh, yeah, for sure. Yeah, you guys are getting into the next one.
Would you want to watch it again in the theater? Did you like it enough to watch it again? Or would you wait to watch it at home? Like, because Force Awakens, like, we wanted to watch it again immediately, right? So did this one, when you left it, and now that you're piecing things together and there were things that you looked forward to, would you want to watch it again to let it all sink in a little more? Or was it good enough? What would be your score? I'm asking you five different questions. What's your score of the movie?
Do I want to go back to the theater and watch it again? Do I want to go into a public place?
Mind you, that theater was nice.
Okay, that theater was amped up.
Yeah.
I was like, okay, so if you're in the Toronto
the GTA.
Area, there used to be, before they made up all these big movie theaters, there was this one... What would you call it? Just a little...
Cineplex. They were all Cineplex originally, before they became
Super Yeah, but theaters. The one that stayed just like a regular, like back in the day, little small auditorium. No, nothing special, nothing...
Yeah.
It's a, you know...
It's a theater in the mall.
It was called Rainbow Cinemas. Now they've renamed it, they revamped it. We didn't realize. They now call it Imagine Cinemas.
And I could not imagine how nice it would be.
And for the same price that... And it's not as expensive as the big, huge Cineplex, big auditorium, go up the stairs kind of situation.
Yeah.
It's just the regular whatever, but when you walk in, leather, wide recliners, and every single one of them reclines.
Oh, yeah. All the way.
And you pay the same price that we did when we would just go there for a regular...
Yeah, it was...
Whatever
it was,
movie.
It was
great.
It was really nice.
I was not expecting that.
No, me neither. I would go back there to watch another movie.
We have gone there, so it wasn't like
we
never went to the small theater.
Would you go back to watch this movie?
I don't know.
Okay.
I feel like I've come to that point in my life where I just... The less being around people, the better for me.
You're like a bear.
And the better for them. Like, no, like, I'm satisfied, and I don't like to overwatch things outside before it coming out. And then I'm just going to be like, I've been there, I've seen it, and the excitement is gone.
True.
I would definitely like to watch it again, but when it's at my disposal.
Gotcha. Yeah. What would be your final
score? And I feel like if I were to watch it again, I'd want to really pick up those points, and I can't pause the theater to be like, wait, I just want to rewatch that that part again. Or did they say that right? Like, I feel like I kind of want to have control a little bit over that, so I would have to just wait for it to come out.
Right.
Overall rating?
Right.
Out of 10?
C.
I feel like giving it a 7.5. Because it just seems like the right thing to rate it for.
Okay.
Considering the emotional... I mean, it seems like one gripe, but I think it was it's a big factor in the whole storytelling. The fact that everyone just died off.
Yeah,
I think it was a great... It was a big investment that we made as an audience to then just have it taken away from us. It was kind of... I don't know.
I'll give it an 8. I'll give it just a little bit higher.
And they killed the droid. I'm not happy about that. That's
so it's your personal
that's a big no-no.
Your personal preferences. It was really really well done.
This was the one time where I wish they kind of bit from Star Trek. Like, how many lives would have been saved if they can just Scotty them up? You know what I mean? Just teleport them from land to ship.
That's the difference, right?
I know. But it was like, oh, I was thinking if that you too. Just had that technology.
I was thinking that too. Yeah. No, I was thoroughly surprised. Not surprised. That's the wrong term. I thoroughly enjoyed it. And I was surprised at how much I enjoyed it more than I thought it would be good. But I really didn't know what to expect. And the way it all comes together at the end was a lot of fun. It was definitely a great movie to see in the theater. I don't know how essential I feel it is to the whole Star Wars mythos. I don't think it's one of those things you have to watch this. But for the fan service and for those who do love Star Wars, it's a nice addition. It's a lot of fun. The one thing, too, I notice about these new Star Wars movies is how diverse they are. Like, the cast is so diverse as far as the main character being female in both of them. And you've got, like, it's multiracial throughout the cast now. You notice that yourself? Or is it something that you're just used to TV the way it is today? Because when you even look at some of the people that were flying in the X-Wings and all of that kind of stuff, like, it was very diverse group of actors and actresses. Which I think is pretty cool to see. And how seamless they kind of do it. You don't really notice it, but when you compare to the old Star Wars movies, there wasn't as much other than there being aliens. People in costumes.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I think there were... Let me think. I'm trying to think in the original. It was just white people.
Yeah. That's
right. Yeah, you're right.
The only black person was James Earl Jones, and he did a voice.
Mm-hmm.
But... In these ones, it's
oh yeah, there's so, like Asians, yeah. There's black people,
yeah,
it's, or black person. There's always, and even in Force Awakens, there was one black guy.
Just yeah, one.
They need to work on that a little. They need to add a little color.
They had Forrest Whitaker in this one. They had a couple pilots that were
pilots.
Yeah, there was a couple pilots in this movie that were racially, it was diverse.
That were Asian, not black. I'm talking about black people.
No, there was. It was a mix. It was a mix.
I didn't catch that. They all had helmets. They all looked the same under the helmet. But yeah, you're right. I think that's great that they're doing that.
Yeah, it is nice. And it's a real testament to how long this franchise has lasted to where we're now in an era where we get to see in stories that take place in as quote-unquote galaxies far away. It's not just aliens. It's people who look like all different things. I like that. That's mm-hmm. cool.
Yo, oh, yeah. Even the guy that... The pilot. What was his name now?
Bodhi.
Yeah.
Yeah. He looked... Well, his name is Riz Ahmed. So, I mean, you got even... Just the... Regardless of where they're from in the movie, you got people of all different nationalities,
yeah.
Actors of all different nationalities who are getting opportunities, which is nice to see
yeah.
in the Star Wars universe.
Mm-hmm. But do you think people are doing that to show the variety and because of the story they're telling? It is the universe. Like, you're not just one class of people. It's the entire universe. So, of course, you're going to come across different races and cultures, but do you think they're doing that for the story, or are they doing that because they're being forced in this time of the, of, in this age of time to be like, look, there's more people than...
I definitely think if they didn't,
like, you know, you,
it would be commented on.
And that's what I'm asking. Like, do you think people are doing it because they just don't, they're trying to save face and not be outed and be like, you guys are just an all white cast. Like, do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I do. I
just hope the intentions of having a variety of people, like a colorful cast is a noble one. It's coming from...
I think it is. I definitely think it is.
Not to be like, you know, we don't want to fall into that.
We have to have the, you know, make sure there's this many this and that many that.
Yeah.
No, I think especially with this movie more than any of the other ones I've seen is there wasn't any... Didn't feel like this race has to be dominant over others. Other than characters who already existed, like Mon Mothma and the general with the beard. Though they're in the story already.
All the bad guys are white.
Yeah.
That hasn't changed.
No. Because...
Okay, oh, question.
Oh.
I was thinking about this.
Yeah.
Never mind.
Go ahead. Tell me.
No, I don't know.
Tell me. Come on, share it.
So why... What is it... Why do these people want power of the universe? Like, what are they trying to do?
He made an empire. The
Yeah, but what are you trying to empire? What are you trying to rule?
The galaxy. The entire galaxy.
So, like, under, like, I understand that. But, like, you can only be in one place at one time. So what I'm asking is... Why are you laughing? I'm just trying to think realistically, like, what are you trying to implement galactically that... This is why I didn't want to say anything, because in my head, I can compute it. In my dreams, a lot of things make more sense.
He wants to rule the universe. He wants to be God. That's basically it. He's a Sith Lord,
so right? Is he trying to be... what's the opposite of democratic or diplomacy?
He's trying to be a dictator.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, he's trying to be an emperor. Yeah, he wants to rule it all and have the final and ultimate say.
But rule what? Like how? Like everyone has like rations, like a Fidel or kind of thing. Like no, and some people liked how Fidel. Like people like I'm just making comments. Some people liked Fidel and some people didn't, and I don't know because I'm not stupid. But what I'm saying, like, what was his ultimate goal? Was he gonna just have people...
Everywhere he goes, he's the emperor. Any planet he goes on, he's in control. He rules the universe.
But how when you're not physically there?
Because you have emissaries. You've got a Lord Vader who makes sure that he's
implementing... So then, and each planet, he was gonna put someone in charge of everyone who was supposed to rule a certain way.
Sure.
That was gonna make him happy.
Sure. And then he can go anywhere he wants to and has his way. Yeah.
Until he dies.
Until someone kills him.
Do you understand my question? I get
what
you're
saying. What's the point of having all of this power at the end of the day when you can only sit in one spot?
Like, I understand it's not okay, but I understand, like, a town or...
a country.
A country. No, but, like, a freaking galaxy?
Yeah.
And, like... And the other question I have is how is it that everybody always understands these other alien dialects? Like, everybody... Oh, like, these humans always understand what these aliens are talking about. Like, is there a galacto class that they give for people to understand what they're saying?
I'm not sure. Maybe they have, like, translators in their earpieces or... I don't know. Maybe they've been given
translations. So many questions.
So many.
I feel...
I'd probably look it up.
Good movie. I liked it.
You liked it?
Mm-hmm.
Keeper? It's a keep one you'd want to own?
Yeah, for sure. I liked it a lot.
Are you looking forward to Force... I don't know what the next one's called. I was going to say Force Awakens Part 2, but... Are you looking forward to that? That's next year. Is your appetite wet for it after seeing this? Or are you like, I can take a break from Star Wars? Or do you want more? Are you ready for more?
Am I ready? No. Will I watch it? Yeah.
Did you...
I don't know. I feel like... I feel like Star Wars is one of those, like, I know it's great,
So you just take it.
So I'll take it when it comes. Right. But I'm not like, you know...
It's not like the next Batman movie. Back when it was good.
Yeah, it was a good movie.
Awesome, Daph J. Welcome back to the cave. I like doing these episodes with you.
I don't know if I contributed anything. I think everyone's confused now. I'm confused. I don't know.
Makes them listen to it twice. That's okay. Thanks, everybody, for listening to the show. I hope you enjoyed us ramble on about Rogue One, Star Wars story.
Yeah, I feel like we ramble. I think yeah, that's our thing.
We're the ramblers. It's all right. Who cares?
I think we tend to... You know how they say your dog picks up on the anxiety of you? Like, if you're having... Like, if you're nervous, your dog gets nervous.
Yeah.
If you're mad, your dog gets mad. I think, like, when we come out from a movie that...
That's the best way to do it, though.
We were we almost like mirror image the movie the way it. See how I can't do this?
Yeah,
I can't speak. Yeah, that's what I feel like the movie did to me. It's a great movie.
But that's the thing though, is that you give a reaction. You're not just always sitting on it and trying to come off like you're the smartest person in the world who knows everything about everything. You're being yourself, and I think more people relate to that because they're probably talking back to their radio or to their iPod or wherever, being like,
yeah, they're probably yelling into the speaker saying, idiot. Get the words out of your mouth.
Who doesn't know what canon is?
Oh, by the way, I know what this is.
That's the West Coast symbol.
Okay, no.
Wait. You've been watching way too much rap documentaries. Hip-hop documentaries.
This.
No, that is
rock
no,
and roll.
No.
Oh man,
you mean this
Spock? Yeah, Spock,
live long and prosper.
Yeah,
that has nothing to do with Star Wars.
I know it doesn't, but I wanted to say what I learned.
What did you learn?
I learned that Leonard Nimoy came up with the symbol.
Yeah,
and he's Jewish.
He's Jewish,
and he basically said that this was the symbol of the first letter in God's name. And that's how he came up with it. And it's like in the glass stained walls or whatever. Mm-hmm. And then, guess what?
What?
If you do it on the next hand
and
you put it together,
yeah,
you get the rock symbol. Did you know that? I can't. Oh, I did it on my other hand.
Thanks, everybody, for listening to the show as Daphne J goes on to tangents and wants to talk about hip-hop documentaries.
We should do a podcast. Okay, very, very quickly. Remember we said we were going to do top 5 video games?
Yeah.
Let's do one right now. Hit one.
Top 5 video games?
Yes.
Next time.
Now, go.
I don't want to do it now.
Be me, Mario Paint. You want to know what I liked about it?
What did you like?
The fly killer. You use the mouse, and it...
You're the only person who would pick Mario Paint as their favorite
it's
top
Mario.
5 Mario Paint.
For someone who claims to be Italian...
I never claimed anything on this show. You're giving away all my information.
Yeah.
Thank you, everybody,
That's
for
a good
listening.
Game.
It was. It,
oh! And you know when they try to.
I'm just gonna have to fade it out.
Release the blueprints from the.
Are we going back to the movie now?
Yeah. We're back in the movie. You know when they're trying to extract.
Okay.
The blueprints of the Death Star.
Yeah.
You know how it's like in this encased glass something or the other.
Okay.
And how Poe Wannabe is having to...
Not a Poe Wannabe.
What's his name then? Cassandra?
No.
Cassadian.
Oh boy, Daphne.
You don't even know the name.
Because you... Cassian Andor.
Okay. See how he had to use the things to kind of like...
Yeah.
I think they're going to make a video game out of that. I predict a video game of like going in and using the handles.
What would be the game premise? Just to extract the blueprints?
Yeah.
That's the game would be over quick.
Oh, they made a whole movie about extracting blueprints.
But that was one part of the movie where he used that.
You don't think?
I don't think. It might be in the video game. Like, that might be a level.
That's what I mean.
Oh, okay, yeah. That might be a level. I don't think they're going to make, like, an apparatus where that's how you control it.
They probably would.
Maybe. You're probably right, and I'm wrong. That happens.
Okay, how many things... Really, I think they're making all these Star Wars movies so that they can make more toys.
Absolutely. 100%. Sure.
Although, I don't know how well the K2SO will fare, because he didn't last very long.
No, he didn't. But so that might make him even more popular because he's only in one movie. That's something that sometimes happens, right? There's a limited amount of it, so you like it even more.
You know what else I liked?
What else did you like?
There was another droid in there that looked like the R2-D2, but it was the red one. Mm.
That's it?
Okay, you need to shut me up. It's a lot of pieces are coming back right now.
Keep talking and I'll roll the credits.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable.
If you were looking for the Twitter version of this episode, you didn't get it. Thanks everybody for listening. You can email us and give us your opinions of our show and the Rogue One Star Wars Story movie at caveofsolitude@outlook.com. Please rate us on iTunes. Just look up Cave of Solitude. Give us a rating. Give us a review. It helps get the show out there. We really appreciate it. And you can visit us on our website as well and leave a comment. Thank you guys so much for listening. We hope you enjoyed the show and the movie. And Daph, do you want to end off with a Leonard Nimoy say? Since we're tying it all together.
It's the rock.
I was thinking live long and prosper. But you're going back to your high school days. Thanks everybody for listening.